Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue today, that though it may not sound exciting, it is vital for us to recognize. We're talking about our future is at stake. Our future as a city, our future as a state, our future as a nation, our future as a globe is at stake. I don't know if you recognize or realize, ladies and gentlemen, the crescendo that's boiling to a bubbling point, a breaking point on a global basis. We're finding, as I spoke of on yesterday's broadcast, wars and rumors of wars around the globe. And we're witnessing today the hotspot. You can call it a war with Israel if you like. It's actually a full-fledged Middle East war. And in that Middle East war, we know, based on the authority of Scripture, that it's going to expand. We realize that we're in perilous times. We recognize that it's the last of the last days, eschatologically speaking, based on the authority of the Word of God. We're living in those last of the last days. And any time, any moment, the rapture of the church could take place. And then all of these things that are signs in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 will become realities at that point in time. But ladies and gentlemen, on the ballot that is before us for the state of Florida, for November, now keep in mind, we've got the primary that's going to be in the next few days, the 20th of this month. The primary will take place. We'll talk about that. In fact, let me remind you, most of next week, I'll be interviewing different conservative candidates for different offices, most of all of next week. Invite you to tune in. Tell others to tune in. We'll be talking about candidates that I believe are worthy of airtime for us to look at what they're saying and what they're doing and how God's going to use them in political office if we as the people, we as the citizens, vote for them. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about one of the most serious issues on the November ballot for the state of Florida is that of the amendments that will change our Constitution for the state of Florida. I'm looking at headlines that says, here are the 2024 constitutional amendments that are before Florida and the voter for voters in November. Number one, Amendment 1, partisan election of the members of the district school board. Ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize it. I touched on it just before the news. This amendment, if passed, will require school board races, school board candidates, to identify their partisanship. Whether they're Democrat, Republican, no party affiliation, independent, whatever the case may be, they'll have to identify it. Now, that will not resolve all of the problem, but that'll give us a little idea of what they stand for, what they believe. For example, I've used this as an illustration as to the R's and the D's and the no party affiliation. Example, when you're driving across the nation or driving across the state or driving across the city, if you're hungry, you see the Golden Arches, you know what they serve. When you see the different signs and symbols for Wendy's, for Burger King, etc., you know what's behind the doors. Therefore, when we have an election, we need to know what's behind the doors, at least by the number, the signal, the insignia that's behind their name, a Democrat, Republican, no party affiliation, or independent. We need to know that. And amendment number one, partisan elections of the members of the district school board. I am in favor of that. Now, I am not in favor, it says, applies to the elections after November 2026. I believe it needs to go into effect immediately. I believe it needs to go into effect, perhaps not for this election that we're on, because we're right in the final stages of it, but immediately, meaning next year, not 2 years later. Now, I understand what they're saying, because it's about another 2 years before the school board races will be taking place in the state of Florida, but I believe it needs to take effect before that, and there'll be probably suits against it that will challenge it in the courts to tie it up. But nevertheless, amendment number one, my vote is yes on amendment number one. Amendment number two. Listen to this convoluted. Now, perhaps you're a caller that can identify this amendment too, and let's have some dialogue on it. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Amendment two, right to fish and hunt. I've got a question mark by it. It's not clear to me what it's talking about. Do we have a right to fish and hunt today? Yep. Listen to this. Proposing an amendment to the state constitution to preserve forever fishing and hunting, including the use of traditional methods as a public right and preferred means responsibility, managing and controlling fish and wildlife. What did that just say? That it says specifically that the amendment does not limit the authority granted by the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Now, part of it says we have the right to go hunting and fishing, traditional methods being used. Then it digresses and talks about the managing and controlling of the fish and the wildlife. Specifically, the amendment does not limit the authority granted by the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. What are they saying? We have a right to hunt and fish now. Does this mean that you don't have to get a hunting or fishing license? Is that what it says? If that's what it is, it doesn't say that in the amendment. If it means that you can go out and hunt and fish wherever you want to, whenever you want to, that's not what it says, because it says that it will still be under the authority of the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. So what is the amendment for? What is it? What will it do? Who's behind it? Why is it on there? So because I have such serious questions about it, I say no. Anytime there's something that's muddy and not clear and can be as convoluted as this seems to be just on the wording of it, I say no. We've got enough confusion and consternation in our Constitution now as a result of these constant additives and changes based on the deep-pocketed elitists that are not wanting to go through the legislative process, because they know they cannot get their garbage passed if it goes through the legislative process. I'm for going back to our form of government, the constitutional republic with the representative form of government that we elect representatives. They go to Tallahassee, they go to Washington, they go downtown to the city council, whatever it may be, and we elect them to do what we want, not what they want, and they are representatives carried out. And what we're seeing today is more and more of the, how would you say, the refusal to go through the legislative process, the undermining of our constitutional process. That's Amendment 2, I say no. If you're wondering about this, perhaps you are a voter that you've looked at and said, how do I vote on it? And I pray that you've not already sent in a ballot not knowing. That's the reason I say we need to search, determine what's said and what is done, and how it's to be carried out. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to go back to a place in society where we are not under the oppression and the depression based on liberals and those that are not representing us as a nation, as a people. I'm looking at Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I believe it's time for us to leave that mourning state, if you will. Amendment number three. This amendment three and four, if you forget all of the other six amendments, Amendment 3 and 4, you must remember and vote appropriately. Amendment number 3, adult personal use of marijuana. Let me just read you what it says. Then we're going to delve into the reality. It allows adults 21 years old or older to possess, purchase, or to use marijuana products and marijuana accessories for non-medical purposes, personal consumption, by smoking, ingesting, or otherwise. It says it allows state licensed entities to acquire, cultivate, process, manufacture, sell, and distribute such products and accessories. Ladies and gentlemen, if Amendment 3 passes, we will destroy the morals, the ethics, the values, the lifestyle in the state of Florida. It will destroy who we are as a state. In fact, if you don't believe that, go to DuckDuckGo, not Google. Google will hide anything that's bad and that they do not want conservatives to know. But ladies and gentlemen, go to DuckDuckGo or any other conservative platform and research California, Oregon, Colorado, and Washington State, and other states that have had marijuana. I'm not talking about medical marijuana, but I'm talking about marijuana in general, especially recreational use marijuana, and see the results. In Colorado, for example, that went into effect in, I believe it was 2014, and 2013 or 2014. I could stand corrected, but it was in that date area. And since then, all crime's gone up 547% combined. I'm looking at a brief statistical survey of the marijuana in Colorado. It says traffic fatalities and impaired driving. Since recreational marijuana was legalized, traffic deaths in which drivers tested positive for marijuana increased 109%, while in Colorado traffic deaths increased 31%. Since recreational marijuana was legalized, traffic deaths involved drivers who tested positive for marijuana more than doubled, this article says. This equates to one person killed every 3 days as a result of marijuana use and driving. Since recreational marijuana was legalized in Colorado, the percentage of all Colorado traffic deaths that were marijuana-related increased 15% overnight. The article further states marijuana use. Marijuana use for the age 12 and older increased 58%, 78% higher than the national average. Adult marijuana use increased 94%, which is 96% higher than the national average. College-age marijuana use increased 18%, which is 48% higher than the national average. Ladies and gentlemen, the nation, state of Colorado is in deep, deep, deep trouble. In fact, the present governor of the state of Colorado, which happens to be a flaming sodomite, he said recently, it was probably 9 months ago, said we need to go back and rethink what we've done in Colorado with the legalization of marijuana. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, marijuana and the use of marijuana in every state that has legalized it causes major, major, major divorce rates to increase. Foreclosures and home losses increase exponentially because people spending the money, families spending the money on marijuana rather than paying the rent or paying the house payment. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, teens and preteens are dying as a result of eating the gummy bears and the marijuana-laced chocolate chip cookies and other products? You realize there are hundreds of products today that's manufactured by the marijuana industry that's proliferating in the market that are laced with THC. And listen, there's not a single level that is high or low that is controlled by any federal or state agency as to how much THC, that is the marijuana product, that goes into the products. Lipstick, chewing gum, bubble gum, makeup, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Gummy bears, chocolate chip cookies, chocolate bars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hundreds of products. Picture in the home where mom or dad one hooked on marijuana, wasting the money, losing their health, and the kids find it. The numbers escalated in the state of Colorado when they first started that because of kids picking it up and being rushed to the hospital, with many of them being very, very ill and some of them dying as a result of it. I'm looking at the further research on this in Colorado. It says, public health. The yearly number of emergency department visits related to marijuana increased 54%. The yearly number of marijuana-related hospitalizations increased 101%. Suicide incidents in which toxicology results were positive for marijuana increased 14% just in the first year. Ladies and gentlemen, the use of marijuana is not something as it was. It was bad enough back in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, ladies and gentlemen, but it is far worse today because the level of the strength of the THC in the marijuana product has no control over it, and it's far more powerful, more poignant than it was in those eras. So for anybody to say, and by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, not I have, they have a number of high-profile Madison Avenue productions on television where midlife people, men and women, are sitting calmly, politely at the in front of a camera, saying we don't want to take anybody's rights away. That citizens should have the right to use marijuana if they want to. And by the way, it'll bring in millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars for schools and for police departments and for this. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Colorado, for every $1 brought in on taxes from the deathly marijuana use, for every $1 they bring in on taxes, they're spending right now $3.50 for social services. Social services, medical care, emergency care, et cetera, as a result of the marijuana product. They lied to the citizens in the state of Colorado, saying that it would reduce the amount of marijuana produced on the black market. It would allow the state to control the production of marijuana. It would produce tax money that will do this, this, and this. And it's found to be absolutely false, fallacious, and deadly for the state of Colorado. I've done the state of Colorado and the state of California research more than any of the other states as to the records of what it has done. So I can simply take that and say, ladies and gentlemen, we need to say no on the personal use of marijuana. That's Amendment 3. Listen to me very carefully. If that amendment passes, hear me, if that amendment passes, it will destroy the lifestyle and the comfortability and the quality of life in the state of Florida. It will destroy the state of Florida. We've got right now medical marijuana pot shops on every street corner. You know why they were put there? Not because they're selling that volume of pot for medical use. It's because the preparation for this amendment today, John Morgan with the Morgan & Morgan Ambulance Chasing Organization, John Morgan said when the medical marijuana was passed, in a statement to a group of excited potheads, he said, this is the beginning. We've gotten the nose of the camel in the tent. He said, but the best is still to come. John Morgan has bankrolled the majority of that which was done for the medical marijuana, and now the overwhelming majority of that which is being done for the recreational use of marijuana. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, if we want to protect the future of our state, we must vote no on Amendment 3 on the ballot November the 5th. And the next most important out of the six amendments, Amendment 3, say no. That's medical. That is the use of recreational marijuana. It's pot. It's a pot, amendment. It is to legalize, circumvent the laws, circumvent our legislative process, circumvent our will by way of the legislative process, and put it in the position that deep-pocketed elitists made the decision. By the way, most every study that you can look up online that says that marijuana is harmless, et cetera, look up the source of the study. Look up the source of the research. Look up who paid for that research. 99.99% of the research is done that tells you a lie about marijuana. Those research studies are done by, paid for, and carried out by, worded by the marijuana industry. It's designed to be deceitful, to encourage the use of marijuana. And ladies and gentlemen, it's been proven it causes psychosis, it causes the loss of brain matter, it causes the loss of cognitive ability. You would look at the research and the study that's out there about what marijuana does to the mind, to thinking. You would think that Biden is on pot 24/7. That's not his problem, but it's the same end result for those that's on or that will use marijuana. Amendment 4. Listen to the heading. Amendment 4 is to limit the government's interference with abortion. Listen to the reading of this article, ladies and gentlemen. It is something that you need to understand the danger of what is taking place and what will happen if this amendment passes. Amendment 4 is the amendment that will allow the murder by way of abortion on a prolific basis to take place in the state of Florida. It will make Florida the murder capital of the world, or the nation, that is. Florida will become the murder capital of the nation. Let me just read you this amendment and what it says. No law, circumventing the law now, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's fictitious. It's fraudulent. It is absolutely a lie on the face of it. It says before viability. Who makes the decision on the viability? Is it Planned Parenthood? Is it the nurse or the doctor at Planned Parenthood? Who makes the determination? Because state after state after state across America, there's been a battle about when does viability start. I personally say that life begins at conception. And yet there are some that say that child in the mother's womb is not viable until 26 weeks. That is, will it live, survive outside the mother's womb? There's a debate, and all this will do is open a Pandora's box on lawsuits as to what is viability or when is viability. Or notice that it says, or when necessary to protect the parent, the patient's health. Who decides that? Goes on to say, as determined by the patient's health care provider. Now, what is a health care provider? Ponder that. What is a health care provider? Who is a health care provider? A podiatrist that's cutting your toenails can be designated a health care provider. Your beautician could be called a health care provider. Your nutritionalist could be called a health care provider. So, in the context of the wording of this fraudulent Amendment number 4, healthcare provider could be anything, anyone, and primarily it would come out of a healthcare provider's statement that would be out of the Planned Parenthood. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm fearful of where this would go if we allow it to pass. Amendment number 4 will limit our government, will limit you and me as citizens in the state of Florida from ever having a say-so on life or death in the mother's womb. Listen, I'm looking at an article from Florida Voice for the Unborn. Florida Voice for the Unborn expresses deep disappointment with the Florida Supreme Court for unacceptable compromising with evil by permitting on the November's general election ballot the abortion industry's misleading abortion until birth state constitutional amendment, while also correctly finding that the state's constitutional privacy clause does not encompass the right of abortion. It goes on to say in this article, we cannot compromise with evil, this article states, and the abortion industry is pure evil. Today's compromise decisions are simply unacceptable, with 5 of the current 7 sitting justices of the court were appointed by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. Clearly, grassroots pro-life advocates have been misled by elements within the pro-life, pro-family establishment, because Florida's highest court has now revealed itself to be a paper tiger when it comes to standing up to the murderous abortion industry. Ladies and gentlemen, Planned Parenthood is doing all of the promulgating. Planned Parenthood is doing most of the paying for. And by the way, your tax money, my tax money, our federal dollars donate to Planned Parenthood on a national basis about $750 million a year. And we're murdering the future of our nation. We're murdering the future of our nation. So, ladies and gentlemen, succinctly put, Amendment 3 about marijuana, no is the vote. Amendment 4 about the abortion industry being able to come in and allow the state of Florida to be the murder capital of the United States of America. And that's what it would be. People would be flying in from all across the nation, coming in from overseas, wherever it may be, in order to get an abortion up to and including at birth in the state of Florida. I say no. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. It's no different than you find in the Old Testament where parents would take their child and to appease Moloch, the false god, would place the child in Moloch's arms while the fire is blazing under and let that child be burned as a sacrifice to appease the gods. That's the false gods. We're using abortion today to appease the demons of hell as a result of an immoral nation that's decided we're going to use abortion as a birth control methodology. That's what we've devolved to, and we must say no. Amendment 5, ladies and gentlemen. Amendment 5, annual adjustment to the value of certain homestead exemptions. It goes on to say then in this article, proposing an amendment to the state constitution to require an annual adjustment for inflation to the value of current for and future homestead exemptions that apply solely to the levies other than school districts, levies, and others for which other persons who has legal or equitable title to the real estate. This amendment takes effect January 2025. I say, stop playing with our Constitution. Listen to what they're doing. And if you go back now, in the past 10 years, we've had amendments three or four times on our bill, on our state of Florida Constitution to toy with, tinker with, play with something about taxes and the homestead exemption. Certain segment of society gets a greater reduction. Another segment of society a reduction, etc. Leave it alone. Whatever we take out of one age group as a special exception, somebody has to shoulder that cost. Somebody has to pay the differential and the deficit with that. Leave it alone. Let our legislative body represent we the people, make legislative proposals, let it be debated on the House floor, the Senate floor, either passed or failed, and then it's to be approved by a vote by the citizens, not some constitutional amendment. So I say no. Stop tinkering with our Constitution. Amendment number six, repeal public campaign finance requirements. Listen carefully. Proposing to repeal of the repeal of the provision in the state constitution which requires, hear me, requires public financing for campaigns and candidates for elective statewide office who agree to campaign spending limits. Listen very carefully. I say yes, we should have never had any law, any constitutional amendment or otherwise, where the state will put into the hands the coffers of someone running for office. If they're running for office, let the campaign financing come out of their own pocket, out of the pockets of donors, but not out of taxpayers' pockets. I'm 100% against spending one dime of taxpayers' money to fund any candidate, any place, any time, for any office in the state of Florida. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't hear anything else today about the Sixth Amendment, Amendment number three that will allow marijuana to be running down the street sewers in the state of Florida to destroy our morals and ethics and values in the state, vote no. Amendment number four that will allow abortion on demand up to and including birth, the vote from Christians, conservatives, and patriots is no. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not very, very careful, we will lose the future of the state of Florida. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that it's on the ballots this primary and for November the 5th, the future of our state and our nation, the future, our future as a nation, as a people, is on the line. It is our future is in our hands. So how will you vote? What will we do? How will we stand on that? Ladies and gentlemen, we must vote in the local election. We must vote in the national election. We must vote in the state election. Christians, conservatives, and patriots must let our voices be heard at the ballot box. We could well see that it's either the battle box or the battlefield. And by the way, that's the subtitle of my book that was published, is The Time for Revolution in 2011. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that the broadcast today has been a blessing, encouragement, and educational for you. Thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.